Good morning, Coin 93.9.
Ivy?
Yes?
Gary Morris.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm just so good, I can't stand it.
Well, we're looking forward to you being here on Monday.
Well, I'm looking forward to being there on Monday. It's, you know, Ronnie Nutt and I have been friends for, I hate to tell you how long, probably at least 30 years. You're probably not even 30 years old.
And, well, I am. I'm a little over that. Yes, I am.
Well, you sound like a young, just a young chick, girl.
Why, thank you so much.
we share the same birthday. It's really, really funny to me because there's about three or four friends I have across the country. One's up in Denver, one's in Moran, right outside of Breckenridge, Texas, and her name is Penny Montgomery, and she's 91. And then Ronnie and I share the same birthday too. But he booked me on some dates or helped promote some dates back in the day. And when the first time I came to Paris was in the early 80s, I did a golf tournament, did a show, and then about 3 years ago, I did a fundraiser that helped raise some money for Paris Junior College. And I went to Cisco Junior College before I took off and went to Colorado and was going back to play football at Texas Tech. And I ended up in the music business, which is why we're talking, I suppose. So I'm coming back, and I'm looking forward to it, too. It's a great church. I particularly like the fact that I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, but it was one of those hellfire damnation churches. And this church is, I remember there was a sign out in front of the church called, Love Can Build a Bridge. And it struck me when the first time I drove up there. And so when he called me about, it's been about 6 months ago, said, "Hey, we want to do a fundraiser for the church." And I said, "Well, let me just put it on the calendar." So I'm on my way there. I just left Colorado where my ranch is, where it was -2 when I left and still 2 or 3 feet of snow on the ground. And I'm sitting here as we speak in Abilene, Texas, at a friend of mine's house that we've been friends for 30 or 40 years, out in his backyard looking at a lake, talking to a wonderful DJ right there in Paris.
Thank you. Well, it'll be 71 on Monday when you're here.
Well, I should have brought my golf clubs, huh?
Should have. Well, let me ask you a few questions, and these are just, getting to know you better questions that I ask all of my guests. Are you ready?
Okay. Well, sure.
All right. Which do you prefer, CD or vinyl?
Well, my preference would be vinyl. And my preference would be vinyl back in the day when we cut on vinyl, too.
Yes.
Now they transfer, digital technology, and they're redoing vinyl. In fact, it's really funny you should ask me, because I was going through my storage at my ranch, and I found a whole box of my hits records in vinyl. And I didn't even know that they existed, that we have any. But I know a lot of people are moving to that. But I prefer the sound of vinyl and the ease of the new technology.
That's true. Okay, how about rollerblades or roller skates?
How about rollerball?
Okay. And then
I was a roller skater, okay? We had a skating rink close to where I grew up, and I was a roller skater. I've never been on a pair of roller blades.
I have a hard time with blades. I prefer skates myself. And then socks with sandals or not?
Well, that depends on whether I'm going out of the house.
Okay. And then one more question I'm pretty sure is going to get some stories started. How does a kid from Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, end up singing in clubs in Denver, singing for presidents, and playing Jean Valjean from Les Mis on Broadway. How did this happen?
Okay. How much time you got?
Well, I've got all the time in the world for you, sir. I can take this over 2 days if I need to.
Well, so let me tell you. I'll start with a story that my mom told me when I was a kid. She said, "Son, you know how jumping beans, you heat them, and I don't even know if you know what
I know what jumping beans are." Yeah.
And he says, "Well, that's a flea inside of them." And I went, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah." And they train those fleas. And I said, "Well, how do you do that, Mom?" They said they put them in a jar, and they screw a lid on the jar, and the flea jumps up, and it hits its head on the lid. And it will keep jumping and jumping, and finally it will learn to jump only so high, and you can take the lid off, and it will never jump higher than that. And she said to me then, she said, "Son, don't ever let anybody put a lid on you." And it stuck. I mean, you know, that was a long time ago she told me that. So I went out to West Texas to, I went to Cisco Junior College and we had a really good football team. We were number two in the nation and got a bowl game, the only bowl game for junior colleges. And then I formed a little trio and we started playing music. And my buddy that I grew up with in Fort Worth when I went to Richland High School, called me and said, "Hey, you want to go to Colorado for a summer?" And I'd always gone to Colorado. That's where our family vacationed. So I said, "Well, yeah, I'll go." And we went to Colorado, and we got a job singing. And I was working construction in the day, and we were singing at this nightclub in Denver. And it was just a trio, three guys, all from Texas. And we were doing, you probably hear that jet going by. I'm outside here at Abilene. We were doing everything from Hank Williams. They called us, the club was called Taylor's Supper Club, and they called us Taylor's Cowboys. And my hair was almost a military cut, as all three of us were back in 1969. And it was in Colorado, everybody our age had hair halfway down to their butt and beards and stuff. And so we were these clean-cut kids from Texas, and we became the rage. Boy, I'm telling you, it was all three of us are good singers. And so I stayed there, and at the end of 10 weeks, they were paying each one of us $1,000 a week. And I thought, boy, this might be what I want to do. And at the end of the summer, I decided I didn't want to go back to Texas Tech. I already ruptured two discs and broken 14 bones in my feet playing football. And so I decided music was going to be it. Not to just make it the longest story in history. After a while, I played there, and I came back down to Texas. And I was reading the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and this was the first election year that I was really interested in. And there was a story in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that Lloyd Benson was trying to keep this governor from Georgia off the ballot because he didn't have enough signatures or he didn't get his papers in time, or I don't remember exactly what it was, but I thought that's not right. And I called the head of the Democratic Party in Tarrant County, a lady named Ann Merrick, and asked about what was the deal on this. And I knew nothing about politics. And she said, "Well, you can go out and petition and try to get some names on a petition." So I took my little trio. We went out and got half a day on a Saturday. And I thought, okay, I've done my stint in politics. And about, 2 weeks later, I got a call from a guy named Jody Powell. And Jody Powell ended up being President Carter's press secretary. But, you know, he called and said, "Hey, we heard that you did some work for the governor." And I said, "Well, not really. We just did some petitioning stuff." And he said, "Well, we'd like to hear you sing. We hear you're a singer." And they came in from Georgia and heard me sing my little trio, and he said, hey, can you go to Asheville, North Carolina? And I said, when? This was on a Monday, as I recall. And he said, well, you need to be there on Friday. The governor's speaking. It's his first big speech, and it's in the university in North Carolina, in Asheville. And I said, yeah, I'll go. And so I loaded up my van and took my boys, and we drove to Asheville, North Carolina. They only had $500, which didn't even really pay the fuel. But we got there, and we did this thing, and the place erupted. I'm going to shorten the story. And anyway, they asked me to go the next 14 days, and I ended up doing 85 different performances for who ended up being President Carter, played election night in the Omni and in Atlanta, and played at the inauguration and blah, blah, blah. And a couple of years later, I came back to Nashville and had this idea that I was going to get a record deal, and went to see Warner Brothers Records and just sat in their lobby. And finally a guy came out who was the head of A&R, and he said, you want to see me? And I said, yeah. Are you Noro? He says, I am. And he said, do I know you? And I said, I don't think so. And he said, did you sing at the White House? And I said, yeah, I did. And he put his arm around me and took me into his office, and I played him some songs I'd written and demoed. And he said, I want you on Warner Brothers. So bam, I was a Warner Brothers artist. Now, I wasn't your typical Warner Brothers artist. I learned to sing in a Southern Baptist church. And, you know, we didn't go to honky tonks. We did, you know, I listened to country music and was almost not by choice. It was what my dad had on in the truck, WBAP up here in Fort Worth.
Right.
And so I'm now on Warner Brothers. I started having records and lots of early success. And then come around 1984, I think it was, Linda Ronstadt's, well, actually, it was Warner Brothers in L.A., said, hey, you need to go sing for these people. Linda Ronstadt's going to do this show in New York. And I didn't want to do it. I said, I'm liking what I'm doing. But eventually I went up and sang for them, and they gave me the role of Rodolfo in La Boheme. And so I did that with Linda for 3 months. Went from there to L.A., and they put me in a TV show called The Colbys and Dynasty. I did that for a year, and then I came back with a record called Plain Brown Rapper, and had some number one records. And then the music turned what country radio was playing back to a more traditional sound. And I told my guy who was managing me, I said, you know, I'm not going to try to be who I'm not.
Right.
Let's do something else. So we went to New York because they were going to cast Valjean. And I went and watched the show, and I said, well, I can do that. I don't have any training. I'm telling you, Ivy, I don't have any training at all. And I said, I could do that. And so I went and sang for them and left and came back. And they told me that they would love for me to do the touring cast, because they had promised the role of Valjean to the guy who originated it, Colm Wilkinson's understudy. And I told him right there in the room, I said, if I'm going to go to Chicago and play, I'm going to take my band. If I'm going to Atlanta and play, I'm going with my band. Why would I want to go on the road and do a show? So I thought it was over. And about 3 weeks later, I had this golf tournament with my name on it in Denver, and it was for charity. And we were we'd done the tournament, and I had a whole bunch of actors and music people out, and we were doing our awards, and my agent came to me and says, I need to talk to you. And I said, hey, man, we're just about to give out the awards. He said, no, come outside just for a second. So I walked outside. He said, they want you back in New York. And I said, well, what for? They says, well, they want you to be Valjean. I said, well, I thought they promised it to Colm's understudy. He said, well, they did, but he died of a cocaine overdose this morning. You have 3 weeks to learn it, and you open on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
So that's how I got all three of those things. I drastically shortened it, or we'd be here for a week.
Gary Morris with me this morning. Coming to Paris, Texas on Monday to Paris First Christian Church. Is that right?
That's correct.
And you're going to be doing a dinner show, basically, with him. What can we expect at that show?
A little bit of everything. I'll probably whip out something from, my theater. I have new music. I'll do Wind and The Love She Found in Me. And I tour now alone. I have three guitars, and they're different tunings, and I'm not carrying a band out. And I've been playing up to 1,000-seat rooms. I am doing a big festival up in Washington with the band. It's one of those 10,000 people shows, but they can expect an evening of music. And unfortunately, even though we're talking now, it's been sold out, I think, for a couple of months. So I'm excited. I like what the outreach of the church into the community. And Paris is like, though I don't get there that often, it's always been very friendly to me. And when you've been doing it this long, you like to go places where you feel like it's kind of a second home.
Well, we appreciate you coming in. We appreciate you bringing your talent here. And thanks so much for the stories. Maybe after the show on Monday, I can swing by, shake your hand, and get your end, get how you feel about Crystal Gayle.
Well, I love Crystal. I could tell you stories about Crystal forever. that song that we broke with, making up for lost time, Dave Loggins and I wrote up in New York when I was doing La Boheme, and I thought that maybe Linda Ronstadt and I would do it, but Warner Brothers called and wanted a duet with Crystal for a special project. But she's a sweetheart, and even though in the recording studio I used to light matches and throw them at her,
because
of her hair, just to watch her duck and jive. And but she's a good girl. She really is.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you so much for joining us. Safe travels here over the weekend. Enjoy your time in Abilene.
Yeah, well, it's just today. I actually play in Cleburne tomorrow, and then I head to Paris. I'll be there a day early.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it. Again, safe travels here. We'll see you on Monday.
All right, Ivy. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you. Bye-bye.